Don't call me scary. I'm not scary. I'm a nice guy. You know, I believe I am. I might do things sometimes, but hey, it was love of money. Money makes me feel different. Maserati Rick was a pretty cool guy. I liked him. He was metal, down to earth. He was friendly to anyone and anybody. He wasn't out there to hurt nobody, but he didn't want to be hurt. He would help anybody that asked for help. One of his friends said something, pissed me off, and he tried to step in and calm things down, but like I told him, you don't step up for no one unless you're willing to accept the ass whooping that he's finna get. And he thought, what you talking about? I said, you need to look behind you. Two of my friends was back there with their hands underneath the coat. I was like, yeah. I said, man, we don't want no trouble. He can't be no trouble. That fool right there didn't know how to speak when he accidentally bumped into me. So, well, man, you must don't know who I am. You finna become a dead man in a few minutes. My boys pulled down their gun and already had mine up on the sling, because I always carried a sawed-off shotgun on the sling, and I had 44. Those were my two favorites. But that's only when they had the control of his boys. So basically I stepped in to him real quick, flung around, put the knife to his throat. And I said, now, that's how quick you would have been dead if I wanted you dead immediately, because I like to use a knife. He said, man, Dennis, man, we can work together if you just give me time to speak with you. After about 5 minutes of us talking about bullshit like that, he decided to speak with me. Well, I decided to speak with him. We went and got into his Benz and we sat there and talked for a few minutes. I said, no, man, this is too crowded for me. You know, I'm tall and, you know, I'm 220 pounds at the time. So, you know, the little Benz that he had was small for me. I like small vehicles. I hit my Cadillac at the time. We talked, he was telling me about himself, about what he do and so forth. And that he could get me down, put me down, but he would like to use me as a bodyguard.
Did he tell you his name?
Rick Carter. He said, you might have heard me, they call me Maserati. So I don't pay no attention to what people say on the street. Only fools do that. Because you can't get a rep with me by, oh, my name is this and that. Show me who you is and step to me like a man. You can't step to me like a man. I don't want to hear nothing about, well, read about me, my rap. Your rap ain't shit to me. You bleed just like I bleed. If you kill me, I don't know it, I'm dead. But if we gonna fight, most likely, I'm trying to take you with me. I ain't going to hell by myself.
So what happened that first day you were with Rick?
He gave me $600 to hang with him for a couple more hours, so I let my friends go. I told him, man, y'all go here. I'm gonna hang with this fool and see what he about. Maybe we could rob him. They were like, okay, man, cool, because we know that he sell drugs and stuff. I said, yeah, I've been hearing that too. So we hung, and he took me up into his car wash. He was trying to show off, you know. Well, that what it was, showing off that he got a business. They took around there to his store. He owned it. So we leave. He said, man, you know, I'm steady moving up, man. I'll be moving up real quick soon, but I want to know what you'd be willing to be my bodyguard. I said, how much you talking? He said, man, I'll give you a couple $1,000. Just hang with me. Make sure nobody, you know, do anything to me. I said, what about my friend? He said, man, I just want you. Thought about it. I said, okay, cool, but when am I supposed to get this money? He pulled out $2,000 and gave it to me. At that time, $2,000 for just hanging with this fool? Cool with me? But then they had the tough man contest. So I went and fought in that. Then,
where was that at?
Cobo Hall. I got the article on that too over there. And I went down there. Bruiser brought some of his friends down there, which was the Brown Brothers. They came down, they seen me fight. Bruce was telling them that I was his uncle and this and that. And they approached me like, damn, man, we also hear that you supposed to be working with Maserati Rick.
How long had you been with Maserati?
About 3 months. Okay. 3 months at that time.
And what were you, doing?
I had just got out of prison. So I had a lot of anger and tension in me. I'm trying to find some way to release it. The best way to release it without going back to prison and so forth was tough man contest. So I basically got in too. I said, well, hell, I get in there and beat the hell out of people, and it's legal. They can't do nothing to me. So I fought the first fight, beat the shit out of the guy. Second fight, beat the shit out of the guy. Third fight, the guy was hard to knock down because he was big. And I think y'all call him, it's your Butterbean. Right, well, I'm punching the hell out of this fat. Well, he's bigger than Tubby.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, and this motherfucker wouldn't go down. So I stepped up, he swung, I came up, hit him twice in his chin and his nose. He was out. But they kept talking about, it ain't over till he down. Y'all want me to keep doing this. See, they was hoping that he beat me, but he didn't. So they called it a TKO, that they're gonna knock out. That's what the one they put in the paper. That's why I told him, I said, man, the man was out and y'all kept wanting me to beat him. If I would've kept beating him the way I truly would have, he would've been dead. But I basically just was punching him in the side of his stomach and so forth and tap him on his chin a couple times to wake him up. Bell fight was over. He went the distance, three rounds.
So the Brown brothers are down there. What were the first?
They was all down there watching. When the fight was over and I stepped out of the arena to go back to the back, Bruiser stepped up and told me that Reggie wanted to meet you, Rockin' Reg.
Did you know who these guys were already?
No, I did not know who they was. But after I met them, that's when Bruiser told me who they was. And he started telling me things and so forth, but I was like, why would you introduce me to him? He said, man, because you look like them. You could be their brother. I said, shit, I'm better looking. Me and Reds kicked it off good. Boo would kick it every now and then because Boo was more of a setback person to set back and watch you and try to study you, try to see if he could pick your mind and see where you was at. But like I said, that's basically what I did for my whole, you know, livelihood, would watch people to try to understand and see if they could be a friend or what. To be an enemy.
Had you done a hit already prior to getting with them, or you don't want
to? I did things for people. Prior Maserati to Rick and for Bruiser.
Prior
I did
to
things
to Brown.
Before I met them. That's why they wanted to meet me. I had to do some serious work for them. One time he wanted to do some work with me, and I told him, you ain't cut like that, Rick. That time it was Big Ed. Hanson. And he wanted me to go with me. I said, man, it ain't gonna work out, man, because you ain't cut like that, dude, where you could really step to a person and take it to him with a knife or a gun. You probably could shoot him from a long distance probably get away with it, you know? Like, no, man, I'm down with you. I took him with me. We laid out in the bushes. Because when he jumped over the banister and ran through the back, that's the only reason why he survived, because I had shot at him, caught him in the top part of his underarm because he was like this and his hat came off. I went and grabbed his hat, put it on, and told his friend and them, the fool won his hat, tell him come get it. I walked around with his hat on for about a week.
So this prior to you meeting the Brown brothers? Or don't
this remember? Was in between.
Okay.
I wasn't with them, but I was meeting them, talking, but we never did anything together. Until this jumped on, that's when Reg was like, man, how'd you let that fool get away? I said, he didn't. His friend jumped down behind him. That's the only thing saved him. Because I don't kill anybody that I wasn't going after. And shooting them would be wasting bullets. I wasn't getting paid to do them. Like I said, Mike the Columbian had quite a few guys that came up with him. And they all didn't stay at Rick Place. He had brought up several girls with them. They was more like their translators. Because like I said, most of the guys, they didn't even speak English. Those that did speak English were like always talking about, you get girls. Ooh, we party, you get girls. Like, the girl would always translate, well, you know, they want to come party and they want to see how we act up this way. They want to get to know us. They hear good things about how we, you know, putting out so much keys that they selling to us and so forth.
How many keys a month you think best friends are doing at the peak?
About 20. To start off. Yeah.
Then
later on they moved up to more because the first 10 they got, the first was 7 they got from Maserati Rick, but then they needed more because
no, when they
expanded
were,
out.
They got with the Columbia. Didn't you say at one point they'd get 200 or 300 a month?
The first one was 100. They gave, like, bought half and got half on assignment. But then the Colombian turned around and let them walk with it because of a hit they did for them. So they said, we clean record. We like you two guys. You two guys are scary looking. Have the type of heart to really do great bodily harm to anyone unless they tried to do something to him. Other than that, he was basically trying to help anybody and everybody in the neighborhood.
People, by putting them on with drugs.
Well, that was the thing back then. Everybody was, you know, basically had to do something. The job was basically nothing there. Chrysler wasn't hiring. They were doing more laying off than anything. So basically, people had to find a way to survive. To survive, they sold little drugs here and there to help pay their bills. Those that got hooked on it got into it even deeper. Once you get hooked into selling that and you see the money coming in and the flow of it, you hooked. You don't want to stop now, not even to go get you a job. You hooked. So that's when I said, well, I'm not going to get like that. But Maserati Rick, he was always giving me, you know, like a half a bird, this and that. And I was basically cutting it up, giving it to my friends to go sell and so forth. So we always had money. The Brown Brothers, they was that time getting couple keys for Maserati Rick. They would put on good fronts that they, oh, you my best friend, you know. But deep down, I could see that they regretted the point that they had to go to him because everybody know him. Maserati Rick this, so Maserati Rick thing. That. It was an ego trip. They knew he was making money, big bucks, bringing in all the cash, money, girls, everything. They wanted that.
Maserati messed up and let Bug meet to connect.
That was his problem. At the apartment, Maserati Rick introduced Boo to his Colombian instant connect, Mike. And he didn't speak English that good. But we understood what he was saying, what he wanted. He basically offered me and Boo a job here in Detroit against one of the YBIs. Names I ain't gonna say, but.
Because he owed us one.
Right. So me and Mark, Boo cousin, me and Mark, we went and drove to the west side and took care of the matter. The guy had the money in the trunk. We drove back to the apartment. The guy came down. He said, yeah, well, you thought that you could just run and do this and that, but I have people in all over the world that would do anything. I could pay to have you butchered right now in front of me. They'll do it. I said, hey, give me the money and I'll butcher him right here. I pulled out both my knives. I got to him right now. Just offer me the money. You can watch me gut him, cut off his head or any part you want. You said, and he's done. Come and looked at me and said, you nice guy. I like you. I said, hey, I like your money. I ain't gonna say I like you because I don't know you that well. But if you got the money, I'm willing to do the job. We basically went back upstairs after he told the guy he gonna take the money, but he slapped him several times. Told us to, you know, drop him back off. We dropped him back off, all right, but not that far from his car, but we dropped him off. But Mark was pissed off because Mark wanted to really do him, and so did I. See, that's what I thought we were snatching them for. I don't like snatching nobody, then we don't do them. Now this fool know that, hey,
he might want to
take revenge. So basically I told him, you take revenge, all you want to do, but you better make sure those first bullet count, they don't come and kill every piece of thing you know. Mark was like, man, let's just shoot his ass and say that somebody else shot him. I said, no, baby boy. We ain't gonna get no money doing that. And later on, we might have to, you know, do him for real for some big money if he is it mess up paying, you know, like his connect again. We go back to the apartment, Boo steady there talking to the Columbia. I'm watching Boo and I'm saying, oh shit. Boo making his connect with him. And Maserati Rick don't even feel it. He said, I feel it. How Boo talking to the guy and then how he looking at Maserati Rick like, watching him make sure that he don't say nothing to interfere with what he trying to set up with the guy. The guy want us to come over there and do a hit. So basically, Maserati Rick basically said, yeah, yeah, my boys could do this. That's when I noticed Vu was like,
yeah, you didn't really work for him.
Yeah, right. That's what the whole thing was. That, see, they didn't really work for Maserati. They were just doing hits for him because he would pay the money for us to come hang with him and so forth and do this and that. So I peeped the move, and Boo looked at us. Okay, Boo could have just played it off. Yeah, yeah, we worked for him, you know, this and that. But he basically, like, pulled it up and just sat there, like. Then he noticed me looking, he sort of, like, softened his grin up, like. Hey, Big Boom, baby, let's go out and said, you know, ride around. Made him leave. That's when he tell me. He said, man, I'm finna make a move, man. I'm gonna get the money together. We're gonna buy our own shit, man, so we ain't gotta buy from Rick no more. We're gonna get it cheaper.
How much were you guys or them getting from
the Columbia had told Boo, you get $150,000 together and we'll sell to you. We'll start you off. We even give you double what you want. Boo accepted that because now he could buy the dope and get more than what he had cash for and pay the rest on assignment. Knowing damn well that we gonna be doing hits for this Colombian sooner or later. And sure enough, we did. We had just got through arguing with that fool up at the club, and I can't remember the name of the club. Like most of the club, like I said, we went to so many clubs that have names I don't even recall them. This was near downtown. Ed had stepped in, and we was in the middle of the flow. Coming towards the door when Ed came in. This was where most drug dealers hung out at. They came there to, you know, get the show on with the jewelry, with the clothes, with their cars. And from that point, we would drive over to the island and everybody would be riding around with the cars, showing off their cars, the clothes, the jewelries, and their women's. And Ed had stepped in. Rick had said, man, that's that motherfucker right there, man. I don't like him. I said, so what's up? He told me, man, that's the one that they call Big Ed. He think he the shit. I said, why you him beefing? Well, you know, it's personal, really. I said, why? Well, y'all fucking around with the same girls or something, huh? Man, no, you know, like, you know. I said, well, whatever, man. What you want? Boo has stepped up and told me, yeah, man, that's that fool, man. Let's take it to him. Like, right here? Rockin' Reds was like, hell yeah. Like, oh god damn, both of these fools. So we stepped outside. Reds had already started jawjacking to Big Ed, telling me, yeah, you ain't nothing but a punk man, you know, you ain't nothing but a punk mother. And Ed, you know, Ed get high on his own shit. He was high, I know he was blow, cause he ain't got nobody but him and two guys. There's about six of us, and we all armed to the T. Only reason we didn't shoot it up in the shop was because the man that ran the place, owned the place, asked us not to. He said, man, come on, man, don't do this in my place, y'all. Come on. So we said, we take this shit outside. Ed and them had already stepped out the door and broke wide for their car up on the hill. We had to go around to the side to get our cars. By the time we got our cars, because Rick had parked his across the street, though, so me and Rick got into the Benz before they got into their 5.0, the red one. So we start speeding around the corner trying to catch Big Ed. Now we seen him taking off. No, it's black. We seen Ed taking off. We trying to speed behind him. We flying down Jefferson doing hundreds. I mean, at 5.0 at that point in time, got up and got the hell on. Phil Precinct's right there, Jefferson and St. Jean. We flew past there like, you got about five cars flying past. But at Algonquin, Big Ed turned off. We was a few minutes, few seconds behind him, but when he turned off and he hit Kirchhoff, I mean, Fuse, that's where we lost him at. Because he must have hit and hit. Later on, we found out what happened. He turned the corner, turned and pulled up in somebody's driveway and pulled behind their house. So when we come down the street, we looking up in driveway, we just don't see him, but we don't see no lights up ahead. Now, I ain't know in the hell he made it to that next corner. So we thinking, well, maybe he didn't turn. Maybe he went to the next street. So we bagged up and went down that street. We still don't see him. For about half an hour, we rolled up and down there trying to find out when the hell did he, how the hell did he get away from us? We don't find out until the next day when they put word out that, yeah, they pulled behind the house and watched us dumb and watch our dumb self running around looking. He was like, man, look at Big Ed, he ain't nothing. I said, okay, dude, but you better watch your back, dude. That dude getting high on his own stuff. He ran around here looking for you. He got so-called hitmen out there looking for you. Those that know of me, they gonna try to catch you without me around you. Those that know me, and they knew that I was always scrapped to the T, and you shoot at me, I'm not gonna, I don't run, I'm sorry. I'm gonna pull my gun out and shoot back. Because even if you hit me, I know I ain't gonna miss when I hit you. I don't miss what I'm aiming at. So, we still together for a week. After that, I'm sitting at the apartment. And I wake up. I'm watching the news. So I'm talking about Maserati Rick was shot at the car. Hey Rick, they told me you was shot at the car wash. And I don't hear nobody's voice. So I go back there and look in the bedroom, he ain't there. He left before I woke up. Boo calls me, tells me, man, they just shot Rick on the west side, man. Where the hell was you at? Right here at the apartment where he left me. I ain't got no car, I ain't got nothing. I'm sitting here. I've been riding with him. Now, well, we on our way to pick you up, man. We got to do something about this. Cool with me, let's go. They came down, picked me up. We left, we went and picked up three more carloads and guys went to the west side. By the time we got there, everything was cleared out. We still rolled around the car wash looking. We rolled up and down the streets. We stopped at the fish shop. We listened to what people were saying and so forth. Then they were saying, I've got the guy named that supposed to have shot him, but they said, yeah, man, he shot him, man, and Rick didn't do anything, man. Like, what? Where he at? They say he at the hospital. So we went to the hospital, talked to him. Boo and them had put men throughout the area to make sure nobody sneak up on us. We go up there and they don't want us to really talk to Rick. But we talked to Rick anyway, tell me we gotta get you from this hospital and take you back to the east. We can't do anything on this side. So Rick told the people that he wanted to get transferred to the other hospital. They did. That's when the word was that someone, they were still looking for Rick. But at that time, Boo was pissed off like, hey man, the word on the street that we bitches. That's what you're talking about. They shot Rick, man. The word is that we ain't doing nothing to protect him. We let Rick get hit. They treating us like we ain't nobody, man. And Rick talking about don't go after the people. I said, where you hear this from? He said, man, Rick just told me this. So I said, well, Rick don't want us to go after him. Just wait till he, you know, get better. Whatever. He said, man, fuck this. Rick showing signs of bitch. I said, well, Rick ain't no bitch. It's just that he just more laid back, dude. He gonna think that I'm planning out what to do. I'm feeling Boo all the way, telling me he don't want to wait. So I knew something was wrong. So I go down there to the hospital, and when I'm on the side door, Boo pulls up. I'm like, what the fuck? He steps over and said, man, what's up? I said, no, what's up on you? He said, man, I thought you was gonna stay away from Rick. I said, no, Rick's still paying me. Man, he can't be paying you laying up in the hospital. And plus, the guy said that as long as we pay his bill, he don't care what happened to Rick.
The Colombian
said, long as somebody pay that bill, he don't care what happened to Rick. I'm like, basically, the Colombian saying that he don't give a fuck if you do something to him then. He said, he didn't say no word, he just looked at me. I said, man, who you down with, us or him? I looked down, I said, I'm down with whoever got the money. And you should know that. He said, well, that's what I'm trying to say, man. We got money, man. We trying to move up. And Rick making us look bad. So we go upstairs in the hospital, and I turn around and leave back out. I said, fuck this, I'm going back downstairs, man, because I don't know what the fuck you got on your mind, boo. Boo come back and said that problem is taken care of.
Officials say two men were seen near his room when the shooting was discovered.
Really, we don't have a whole lot of details other than the fact that some people saw two men.
We drive back over on the street where I was staying at the time, and that's when he said, man, this between me and you, man. You're going to hear about it on the news anyway. Boo dead. I mean, excuse me. Mize is dead, man. We want you down with us, Boone. We want you down with us. I said, well, what you mean down? He said, man, dude, we give you the dough. We give you whatever you need. We help you get up, and you need money for anything. Plus, we still want you to do hits for us and go on hits with us. I said, man, I'm down with whoever got the money. He said, okay, that's all I want to hear, baby. Because he took care of me very well. I ain't gonna say he took care of me. He gave me enough money to where, he gave me the money there before he went into the hospital. Because I had told him, I'm down with whoever, you know, take care. He said, well, Rick ain't paying you. He gave me a wad of money, too. No, it's $10,000. I walked in, then I turned around and left back. I said, man, nah. I turned left back out and went back to the car. By the time he came back to the car, he was like, everything's cool, man. I said, man, you want your money? He said, no, man, that's you, man. Man, you know, you down with us now. Of course, later on, when he got to the house, that's when he told me what went down between him and Maserati. He was like, everybody gonna think that that jerk did it, man. So we clean on this. But we gotta go to the funeral, though, dude. Make sure, you know, that people know that we there. We still bagging up Maserati, even life or death. I'm like, man. He said, man, we gotta show. We don't. People gonna start thinking that we had something to do with it.
So you made it. You actually in the news clip of the funeral. You're visible.
Yeah. As you seen on the DVD, which I didn't even know people was taking pictures of. That like, if I did, I would have had my hood up. But I had it down at that point because I wasn't aware nobody was taking any clip shots.